I got a bad feeling about this.
This is a Slogagio Caching Podcast, produced by Paul Konopacki of St. Louis, Missouri. September the 19th, 2006. Episode number 38. Interview with Mike and Lisa Johnson, a.k.a. Golf Nuts, of Clarksville, Arkansas.
Hello everyone, this is Paul Konopacki, your host of the Slaga Geocaching Podcast. I am a member of Slaga, the St. Louis Area Geocachers Association. These podcast episodes consist of interviews with geocachers and sound-seeing tours of geocaching events. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or download MP3 files directly from podcast.geostl.com. During the podcast, if you hear this sound, it means I am about to explain what you're going to hear next. If you hear this sound, it means there has been a break in the conversation or a change in physical location. These podcasts are published under the Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivative license.
During my week-long caching trip in Arkansas, I stayed two nights at the Best Western Motel in Clarksville, run by Mike Johnson, the Gulf, in the Gulf Nuts geocaching team. His wife, Lisa, is nuts. Ask for the geocacher discount when you book a room. The motel is just off of Highway 40, easy access to scenic caches hidden in the Ozarks. Or if you don't want to tackle the long hikes, there's a plethora of caches scattered around the urban and rural area of Clarksville. In fact, just stroll across the street from the Best Western Motel and find more than 20 caches in a couple hours of walking along a hiking trail. I met Mike my first day in Clarksville as I was getting back from one of my caching trips. We met later in the motel lobby where he showed me a mailbox that a friend of his had created. It was decorated with geocaching swag. It was actually a travel bug hotel that you could get access to by asking for the lock combination at the front desk. I have a picture of it posted in the show notes at podcast.geostl.com. The audio of this podcast is from our encounter in the lobby and on our way to and from dinner that evening. All recordings were made using a Griffin stereo lapel microphone.
Honey. Oh, my gosh. I guess I better not look. It's a secret. Well, tell me about this.
You might as well log while you do. Well, it's a cache. We put it in here. It's a travel bug motel.
Oh.
I got a friend that made the mailbox for me.
It's a travel bug motel. It's a mailbox. I got a compass. Engineering compass. GPS. Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Lisa.
How you doing, Lisa?
Nice to meet you.
Are you the?
I'm nuts.
She would be nuts.
Okay, I didn't want to say that. I don't want you.
Yeah, I'm nuts.
So, what do they have to do to get to this?
Actually, nothing because it.
The coordinates are right here.
Huh? Coordinates are right here. Actually, right at the front door. On the cache page, the hint says you're gonna need the hint to get in this cache.
Well, it's cheating, but I'll do it anyway. I drove all this way.
Right here, too. I mean, you know, kind of like a freebie when you stay here.
That's true. That was one of the perks. I didn't realize it.
There's only one travel bug in here right now.
Well, it's nice and convenient to the freeway, which is what a travel bug should be.
Drop them off if they want to. And I drop some in it now and then.
Somebody put those binoculars in there? Mm-hmm. Pretty lightweight.
Are you guys into travel bugs?
All we do them coins and
all the permutations of geocaching.
We're ate up with it. So, if it pertains to geocaching, we're into it.
Well, Max was saying his wife goes along if he drags her along.
Summer months, he has to pretty much sweet talk me to get me out. Now, the winter months, you know, when it's cool and no bugs out and stuff, I can handle it.
Well, I'd mentioned that a lot of the logs that I see in a lot of the caches, are way back from May or June, which means nobody has hunted them in June, July, and August.
It's just so hot to get out. Now, have you been out doing any caching around?
Yeah, I only did 3 today.
Yeah, but the 3 you did.
I just finished my logging upstairs just before I got here.
3 you did with Pam Grotto Falls and Pack Rat Falls, and then when we did those, Ron put a cache out called Celebration just for getting those 2 caches. He put out a, film can, wasn't it?
It was a camo, it was like a pillbox with camo tape on it.
Because he waited because his knee, he went to Pam Grotto Falls, he didn't go to Pack Rat Falls. Mary Beth.
Well, you like to get out there and do a little hiking, huh?
Well, that's what I wanted to do. That was my plan to go here. But I just want to go. I want to punish my body. I don't want my mind to have to think at all.
Well, there's a trail right out here, Spadra Trail. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's several caches on it. Yeah. They're, pretty easy to grab.
Yeah, I think Maximum said there's like 20-some caches around that whole loop.
You don't have to walk out the door very far to find a cache. Well, have you been to Glory Hole?
I would have done that one today if I had time. But Max said, call me at 3, so it means I had to be here by 3. Mm. And the last cache I did was about 1 o'clock. Okay, well, it's taking me half an hour to get home, and I need gas, and I need to clean up and take a nap. So I wanted to just go home after that. But it's still on my list. I might do it tomorrow.
Beautiful. And maybe, if the water's running right now, man, it's some rain.
You know, there was very little. Even after that, the day it rained, I did more caches that day than I did the day after. But I hardly saw any water at all in any of the falls the
it's
day after.
It's been not so dry here. It's so hot.
It's still pretty close.
Oh, yeah,
it's nice look down in there. And the fall, when it is running, it's beautiful.
I talked to a lady in Jasper. She was working the Elk Museum. Mm-hmm. And she said, you have to pretty much catch like the spring rains in order to see the really good, the picture postcard ones where you have all the water coming through.
Everything been okay with you here at the motel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the bed was great. Nice and soft and big and didn't hurt that I was exhausted, but...
Pillow top beds are pretty well known around these parts.
We've had 2 complaints from somebody in the pillow top bed since we put them all in. And the first one was from a guy, and he said it makes me feel like a little kid because I sit on the edge of the bed and I can't reach the floor.
Well, they are, yeah.
And
that doesn't bother me at all.
And then another one, that she had back trolls and likes a really hard mattress. And so she didn't like it, but that was about the only 2 that I know.
If I gotta crawl up in it to sleep, it's comfortable. It's not a problem with me. Do you prefer to get out in the woods and cache, do your caching up there?
Yeah.
Not much of a metro type cacher.
I started back in the old days.
Yeah.
When the coordinates at the top of the page was where the cache was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Things have changed since then. I guess I'm kind of old school.
Right.
But I like the physical challenge. I don't mind a little bit of the urban stuff.
Well, now, do you like to do hard ones or puzzles?
The puzzle ones every once in a while, but not so much. I like the 1 or 2 mile hikes to find, caches out in the woods where there's nobody around. I can't hear the highway.
Y'all have a lot of those up, even in St. Louis, even if it's just outside St. Louis.
And St. Louis County is pretty big. There are so many parks in the county, and the county supports geocaching. Where I live is half an hour drive from downtown St. Louis, but St. Louis County is just across a river from me. So there's a lot of green area, a lot of greenway where they can have some good hikes, and I don't have to go into the city parks to find the caches.
What do you do in real life?
How do I support my hobby? The easiest way to explain it is I'm a computer programmer, so I deal with computers.
Right.
Technically, these days, I'm a database developer, but I've been a geek and a nerd for a long time. Now, I admit being a geek, I have a hard time admitting I'm a nerd, but I'm probably a nerd too. When I compare myself to other people, I'm a nerd. Well, it kind of bothers me because my career is in technology and my hobbies are in technology. And at any time, if I lose electricity, there's a lot I can't do. Mm-hmm. if the infrastructure goes under, my career is screwed. You know, it's...
I never thought of it that way.
So I'd need to have a backup plan. I need to be able to be good at digging ditches. Well, what's it like running a motel? Is that your answer?
No, it's fun sometimes, and sometimes it's a pain. It's probably the biggest pain is it's a 24-hour business, 365 days a year. You don't get to close the doors.
So even then, when there's no people there, things are being changed, things are being restocked.
Yeah, you still have to be there, and the people, you know, they like holidays off. I went and worked front desk on Christmas Day. And my parents and family were all in from Texas. And I didn't even know they were really going to do it until it was almost like right before it. But they brought, set up banquet tables in the lobby.
Oh.
And we had Christmas dinner and Christmas.
Right there.
In the motel lobby. Yeah. With guests coming in, checking in.
Yeah. Oh, look, Mom, buffet. Let's go stand in line.
It was strange. But it was a fun time. So. I don't want to do it every Christmas. Mm-hmm. I only have three front desk people that are there pretty long term as far as the number of years they've been there. And then two that are going to college, and they last, you know, a year to 3 years at the most. And then our housekeepers, we generally have about three that are half of them are there for more than 2 or 3 years, and then the rest of them are just like a revolving door.
How much of what you do is dictated by the franchise, and how much do you decide what you can do yourself?
They dictate a lot as far as what you have to have, and I mean, they decided, and you get to vote on it, and they decided it was time to do high-speed internet a few years ago, and they were behind and should have done it before that. And,
okay.
And stuff like that, you don't vote for it. You're silly not to. But when they did it, they do it in strange ways. They made it where it was like 10% of them. You had to have high-speed internet in 15% of the rooms you have. So now then you got 53 rooms here, which means we had to have 8 rooms is all we had to have. Well, after you rent those 8, what do you tell the rest of them?
Right.
You know, and I'm going, that doesn't work.
So right, because you're advertising.
We did it.
High-speed.
We did it all. Yeah, and it, you know, yeah. Real small print, it'll say something about 50%, 15% of the rooms. We did all of it when we did it. And we actually did it a year and a half before we had to.
Well, I'll tell you what. Doing this podcast remotely, if I didn't have high-speed internet, I wouldn't be able to do it. So obviously that's what I've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Every place I go.
And the high-speed internet here is somewhat unhigh speed.
It was a little slow today, but yesterday, last night, it was okay.
Yeah. And we live 15 miles, but we're 3 miles past where there's a substation.
Oh,
and so the high speed.
I don't get it.
Is just we didn't have it either for a long time, and when they finally got it, while it's faster than dial-up, I can come here and it's a whole lot faster.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
And then if you go, they actually have, I think, one more step up than what we have, but it's just this costs us $100 plus a whole bunch of support fees and some other stuff, and. The next step up is like $400 or $500 a month.
Yeah, well, if all I want to do is check their email, that's one thing. But, you know, geek like me, I gotta have more. Give me more.
You know, when we did it, we put a computer in the lobby for people that didn't carry one.
Uh-huh.
And we had people, before we did that would come in and wouldn't check in because we didn't have a computer they could use.
Ah, really?
And it just blew my mind that if it's that important for you,
yeah.
You gotta buy a laptop.
Well, thanks again, guys.
Yes, sir.
It was nice to meet you and put some faces to the names and whatnot. So.
Well, come back to see us, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I know what the experience is like. I'll recommend more people to come down.
Okay.
Stay at the geocaching motel.
Well, yeah, and try to come back next year for our event that we have here.
Yeah.
We're getting better every year at it, too.
Yeah.
It'll be our fourth year, right? Yeah,
see you later.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.